You know, I've had a couple conversations with Ernie Accorsi, and he's been very helpful. And I talked to him for about an hour on the phone. And if you don't know who Ernie was, to have that conversation, you know, it was a nice conversation because he was actually the one that drafted me in Baltimore, and then he was in Cleveland when we had the drive. And so, thank God there was no animosity. And he took my call. But there's a guy that, has a great deal of experience, has been a very successful GM in the NFL for a long time. He's now retired. And so I said, I'm hopeful that you'll continue to take my calls because there's a lot of things that I would like to bounce off you. And he was very generous and said, he'd love to be able to do that. So I look forward to, learning from him and seeking his advice. I think the key thing is we want to find the right guy. The quicker we find the right guy, the better off we're going to be. And so whether that's the first guy we interview or the third guy we interview, it's important to find the right guy. And, we want to be thorough with it, but most importantly, we want to find that right guy. Now, I've been asked a question also is do you want an offensive guy, or a defensive guy? I know that gets brought up quite a bit. And Brian did a little study and trace back over the last 15 to 20 years about the differences or the win percentages between a offensive-minded head coach compared to a defensive-minded head coach. And it surprised me, there's only a 2% win percentage difference between the offensive-minded and defensive-minded. So even if it was a difference of 10%, I still think that we would lean to get the best quality coach that we can that we see in the interview process. Well, I obviously we talked about it, Sam. I talked about the continuity, and I think that's the most important thing right now is to get some continuity on the defensive side and allow those guys to go out and play. A lot of times when you're switching systems all the time, they never get comfortable in the system, and so therefore they're learning for the first half or first three quarters of the year, and they don't ever get adapted to that system. But I think that, we've got to have somebody. We're set up for a 3-4 now. And hopefully we're leaning that way, but obviously we'll have to talk with the head coach and find out what his preference is on the type of defense. But again, whatever that is, we want to stick to it. With talking about the draft is it's important for us to build through the draft. We got to get our core guys through the draft. Free agency, we'd like to add to weak spots, but we're not gonna make our team through free agency. We're gonna make this team a championship team by drafting the right guys. I think that Kyle's obviously had two good years here, and he had he really started out fast this year, and obviously it ended up the year with a rib injury and couldn't play the last couple and had a couple poor performances before that. But Kyle has been an important part of this organization the last couple of years, and again, that will be something that will be evaluated once we again go back and get the new head coach and we have a chance to sit down and talk about it. But Kyle has been a guy that's been a blue collar guy that's worked hard for the Denver Broncos and had a lot of success for a long time. This year he was leading the league in yards, and so he can play at quarterback in the NFL. It's going to be a consensus. But again, Brian has more experience with the draft. And I think the one thing that if you ask me that question, I would say, what is the compensation for that? If that were to happen, what would be the compensation? And it would be my job to make sure that we got the correct compensation that Brian would tell Brian, me as well as the head coach. Now, there may be a guy in the second that the head coach and Brian say, we can't pass up this guy, but here's the offer. But the bottom line is we're going to come out with a consensus out of that group. And the way I looked at it, especially early, is the consensus is going to be between Brian and the head coach. And I will be all ears in that situation. But as time goes on, get more involved in those decisions. But the bottom line is my job, if there's a difference between Brian and that head coach, then it would be my job to break that tie.
Yeah. And
Right.
So let's say there's not a consensus. Let's say there's, you know, you all like this player, but you all feel like we need a bunch more picks, too. Who makes that call again?
I would say this. If we can't come to a consensus on a deal, then we're going the wrong direction. And I would say that, okay, let's look at another situation to where we all come to a consensus. Because I believe if we all come to a consensus, if we're all a consensus on one guy, then we have a chance, a lot more chance to be successful on that than if there wasn't a consensus on this guy. So we may go a different direction. And if we can't get a consensus on this guy, then it's probably the wrong way. And so let's go a different direction and find the right guy that we're all in consensus with and all agree on to go that direction. Now, obviously it didn't turn out with Josh. And I will say my job is, number one, is to protect the Denver Broncos. And what's best for the Denver Broncos? And that's the decision that I would have to make if they were going in the wrong, a different direction that I believe was the right direction for the Denver Broncos. And I would make that call.
John, if you look at this team and you follow it very closely, I think any unbiased observer would say the last 6, 7, 8 years of the draft has not been what it's needed to be to build this franchise as far as depth. What is your philosophy? And first of all, how do you feel about what's been done as far as the draft and the state of the team now? And what's your philosophy on the draft and building this team moving forward?
Well, my philosophy, obviously, is to try to find the best players that fit into the Denver Broncos. And I think that's you know, the key thing is guys that fit into the system that we have and guys that understand what the Denver Broncos are all about. So that are good football players. And so I don't know that you can go much deeper than that. You know, as far as what's happened in the past, I know there's, you know, you had Watson and Beatles that started on the inside this year. We have Noshon from last year. Robert Ayers started. Drafting is obviously very tough, and that's something that we have got to be good at. And Brian knows that. He knows he's accountable for that side of it, and we've got to get better there. So when it comes down to draft, and again, it goes back to Brian's staff also. We want the best guys on Brian's staff and guys that will stand up and give their opinion and be accountable for the guys that they like and they don't like. The last thing we want is guys that all agree on everything. You know, and I think debate is great in that situation because not only do you get the best people, but you come out with the best decision. And so, I encourage it that we want guys that believe in what they say and believe in what they see in guys when it comes down to the draft. And I think in the long run, we'll come to a consensus. Eventually, we'll talk about it. And again, I go back to the same thing. Maybe if there's not a consensus on a guy, we may be heading in the wrong direction, and we may need to look in a different direction. Well, obviously, you know, we've got some high picks. It's, you know, it's a first time in a long time, maybe ever, I believe that we've had the second pick. I know the pressure's on. The pressure's on with that second pick because of what we need for this football team, and we need to find a guy that's going to come in here and be successful for us. Now, obviously, the philosophies of trading back and all those type things to get more picks, you know, Brian has had a lot of experience with that, and he's been involved in that, and so that is also something, as we get there, we'll look at that, and as we get closer to the draft and have a head coach and have those meetings to figure out, you know, what our goal is going into the draft and what our philosophy is going to be going into the draft, what our draft board looks like, who's there, who's not, and whether we can draft back and get more picks, then that would be something we would do. But it's too early for me to stand up here and say exactly what that philosophy is going to be right now.
John, a couple hours after Josh was fired, you know, Denver being what it is, a lot of people saw you and Pat having dinner at your restaurant. Did this day kind of start then? Is that when you first...
Well, actually, you know, we had that plan before Josh got fired, so we're not planning on that. So I was actually glad I could be there with Pat and give him. I know, because I know Pat hates doing that, and he didn't want to have to do that. But you know what, Pat has to make those tough decisions, and he has made those tough decisions for this organization over time. And when he makes those, he's usually right. And so I was really there as a friend. We did talk a little bit about it. Obviously, you know, since I've been involved with the Broncos more on the marketing side, on the business side, you know, we've had chats back and forth. It's never been too intense. But, you know, Mr. Bolin has always asked me, he says, well, you tell me what you can do for this organization. And you let me know what your job in your mind would, what it would look like. And I always thought that I could be a good buffer for Mr. Bolin and be a good buffer from the football side. To give him the scoop. A lot of times when you're talking about a head coach and you're talking about general managers, sometimes they have their own ideas of what they think is right, but sometimes not necessarily thinking about what what's best for the Denver Broncos. And I always said I could be that buffer. And so for this opportunity that I have, plus the extra responsibility that he's given me, is, you know, the perfect situation for me.
John, you talked about Mr. Bullitt's legacy. What about Jerron? There's a concern that you, as an iconic figure in the city, most famous athlete in the state's history, that this could have an effect on it one way or the other. Is there fear in your mind that your legacy could be changed?
You know what? I think that, and I've thought about this many times, but when I retired from football, I was 38 years old. And I wasn't done doing what I needed to do in this life. And I believe that there's, you know, I'm a guy that likes challenges. I'm a guy that likes to compete. I'm a guy, and I've had several people say, how many times are you going to try to climb up another mountain? And I said, probably when I get too tired. But I'm not too tired to climb another mountain. Obviously, this is a mountain here that we need to climb. And I look forward to the challenge. And that's the way I'm built. I don't look at myself as an icon. Maybe people from the outside look at it that way. But I look out from my eyes, and the way I look out of my eyes and what I want to do with my life is I love the challenges that Mr. Bullen has given me here. And so I'm truly excited about it. You know, talk about legacy. The thing that I would want to do is look back and say, you know what, you had a chance to go do something. And it is big as this and the position that you were awarded, that given to, that to be able to walk away from that, I would have never been able to forgive myself. And that's not what I'm about. I'm about running up that hill and competing. I love to learn. Obviously, as I said, I don't know everything about this job, but I can't wait to learn as much as I can about the job. I'm thrilled to be back with the Broncos. I'm thrilled to be back in football. I get on the football field, and it makes my heart pump. And I was down there at the Orange Bowl and excited about being on the field there. I was, you know, came out to practice a couple times last year, and it felt great to be back here. But I can't wait to get back in there, and I can't wait till we tee it up for the first time next year. And the thing about football and the thing about my life is my dad was a football coach, and I was in football my whole life, and my life has always been a bunch of highs and lows, and I miss that. You know, you get out in the business world, and it kind of goes like this, and I know I can make money, but I want to be successful. I want to compete at something, and so with this opportunity to be able to do this here is a mountain I'm ready to climb.
John, you're getting everybody pretty fired up with your enthusiasm here, but we've only heard from one voice from the Broncos. That's been the head coach for the past couple of years. Will that change?
That's going to change, yeah. I mean, I think it's important that you know, and I think that's one reason why we've lost a little bit of the connection with some of our hardcore fans, is because there's only been one touch point for the fans. And there's no longer going to be only one touch point. You're going to have a touch point with me, you're going to have a touch point with Brian, and you're going to have a touch point with the head coach. And I will tell you this, I get back to the same thing. The head coach has got to understand his responsibility of what it means to be a Denver Bronco head coach and the relationship that we have with the fans and the relationship that the fans want to have with the head coach. And so that's going to be important when we talk about it. And before we hire somebody, he's going to understand that and be able to embrace that, because that's the way it's going to be. But I think that's one thing that we have to do as an organization is be more transparent. And we will. And I talk about not only the football side, but I talk about everybody in this organization, the business side. And everybody's got to be proud to come work for the Denver Broncos and be excited about coming to work. Obviously, you got to work, and you're not excited every single day, but you got to be proud to work for the Denver Broncos. And I think that is something that has always been there. It's maybe not what it was over the years as of late. But we'll work on getting that back.
John, you know the time and commitment it took you to be a great football player. Have you mapped out, when you talk to these other GMs and former GMs, it's not a 9-to-5 job. How many hours?
I don't know exactly what that is, but I will tell you this. I'm committed to do whatever it takes, and that's what I did as a football player. And I will tell you this. I want to be the best that I can in this position, and however long it takes to be as good as I can be in this position, I'm going to spend that time. And so I'm looking forward to it. I'm 50 years old, and it's coming at the right time. My kids are off in college, and for the most part, they're taken care of, except when they need money. They don't need me a whole lot. So I talked about it with my wife, Paige, and she's excited, and she understands, you know, what I'm getting myself into and what I'm getting us into, and she's willing she understands the fact of what I want to do and how good I want to be at what I do. And when I put myself to do something, I dive in head first. And so I've talked to my business partners. They understand it. They're happy for me and realize that this is what I wanted to do. So, I'm very fortunate and looking forward to it.
You talked about climbing the mountain. How high is
It's a high mountain. And the reason why it's a high mountain, because it's hard to win in the NFL. You know, it's not anybody that is a world champion in this league that wins that Lombardi Trophy. It is a tall mountain for everybody. And you have to have right things happen for you. You got to stay healthy. You got to get some lucky bounces. And so it is a very difficult hill. And having played in the game, I understand that. And that's, again, why I'm looking forward to that challenge, because this league is so competitive, and there's so many good players out there, and there's so many good coaches, and that's why we have to win with the little things, and that's why we'll win in the front office, and we'll win with our coaching staff.
John, you talked about the transparency with the fans and wanting to expand the people. You guys have kind of announced some of the people that you've already officially gotten permission to speak with. That's a huge departure from what it's been in the past. Is that part of what you're talking about?
Yeah. Exactly. We got to get everybody involved. We want the fans back involved. We want them knowing. We don't want to feel like they're getting straight-armed. We want them to feel like they feel, and it's part theirs, and they have ownership in this because emotionally they have that attachment. So it's important, and Joe and I have talked about it, you know, a lot about the transparency and getting our fans back and making them feel a part of this organization because it's unique, you know, within the NFL. I will bring a recommendation as well as Joe and Brian, and we'll all be on the committee to search and find the best candidate we can, and you know, Pat's going to be in the process also, and in the interviews also. So we will bring recommendation to Mr. Boland, but ultimately it's Mr. Boland's decision. Well, I played for 16 years. And I plan on this being a hell of a lot easier on my body. So, who knows? You know, I think that I'm just, you know, this being the first day, it's something, as I said, I look forward to, and I have a goal. And the goal is to, you know, take this, you know, hopefully be a part of a team that goes back and wins some Super Bowls. So I haven't really thought how long it would last, but I'm thrilled to death that it started. I think that, you know, it's a big part of it. And I think that you know, obviously, in talking to the coaches today, you know, the players have changed a little bit over time, you know, since I played, that the players have changed. And I think, to me, that, as I said earlier in my comments about what a head coach needs to be, he needs to be able to work with people, not only his coaching staff, but has to understand, you know, the players of today and the way that players are. And the one thing that I always remember that I thought was probably one of the greatest coaching points that I had ever heard, that what I think a great coach is, and everyone says, you know what, you got to treat everybody equal. And I don't agree with that. I agree with the fact when it comes down to discipline, it comes down to expectations of what they should do in the off season, what you expect them to do film-wise, and all those type things. I think you treat everybody equal because you expect that from them. But every personality, 53 guys, and I was in that locker room for 20 years, this one for 16, college for 20, and I understand the locker room. And when you put 53 guys together, you've got a lot of different personalities. And there's certain guys that you can yell at, and there's certain guys that go in a shell when you yell at them. And to me, what makes a great coach is the ability to understand that with each player. You almost have to be a psychologist to know, and as a coach, to get the best that you can out of each player. So whether it's rubbing a guy on the back and yelling at another guy, if that's the case, whatever gets the most out of that player, you have to have the ability to do. And I think that's what great coaches are, that what makes a great coach is to be able to identify what gets the most out of that player. So I think it's very important. Now, obviously, the head coach has got to be he's the leader, but he's also got to have a great staff. And I believe that, you know, the assistants are the touch point for the coach most of the time. And so they've got to be on the same page between the head coach as well as the staff, and they got to all be able to work together to make sure the same message is being sent to the team. And so, you know, that's very important. You know, I don't know enough about that. I wasn't out here, but I know that the reports on Brady and his work ethic and the things and the progress that he's made this year are very good. But again, we'll open it up and evaluate that as we go forward.
John, I know when Joe had his press conference, he said, I don't think we have to pay six coaches, so we got to get the right guy. Since you're now in the employ of the Broncos, is it true that they don't care that you have to pay six coaches? I mean, are you under any restrictions as far as this hire monetarily, as far as finding the right guy?
No, and I think that, you know, with the situation with, you know, the assistant coaches that are here that are under contract or get an opportunity to interview with the new head coach. But if it's up to the head coach, if he chooses to keep those assistants on his staff, he can do that. But again, it's not going to be, that decision will not be made because they have a contract. Mr. Boland has always done everything he can to put the best football team, have the best coach that he can possibly have. And that'll be the same with the next coach. Alfred Williams.
Is there anybody that's off limits as far as you making this team, as far as the trade goes, or are there anyone?
What's your status? Huh? Probably the same as mine. Done. No, there's nobody off limits. But again, we have to get back, Alfred, and we got to get together with Brian, our personnel department, as well as a head coach, and really get into it, find out the head coach's philosophy, where he wants to head, his idea offensive and defensively, and then figure out the best route from there.
John, Josh was hired, there was a lot of talk within the organization of what a great interview he had with the team. Has there been any discussion about checks and balances there to find the right guy?
Yeah, and I think that, you know, having not been involved in that process the last time, but I think that everybody that was involved in that process now, having gone through that, is very aware of that situation. And so hopefully we're aware of that, and we'll do everything we can to prevent that. I think that, you know, the antennas are up a lot more this time than they were last time. And so I think that, again, we've learned from that the previous process and won't do that again.
John Harbaugh is interviewing with the 49ers today, so apparently he is interested in taking a look at the NFL. If you got him to come here for an interview, would you try to sell him on the Broncos, or would it be up to him to sell himself on the
I think it's both. I mean, obviously, when you have a guy in Jim, you've got a guy that's essentially a free agent out there because of the success he's had at Stanford, which has been a tough place to win. But when you talk about him taking a 1-11 team to a 12-1 team this year, he's a hot commodity, and so therefore, you're going to have to, we're going to have to sell ourselves on him and what the Denver Broncos are all about. And I believe that if that were the case, we got a good chance because of what we have here. We have, great fans. We have a great organization. We have a winning tradition. And so when it comes down to selling this organization, I think that's the least of our concerns.
Can you talk in very general terms about the other candidates? You said you've already received permission to speak. What drew you to them?
Well, Perry was, he's a defensive coordinator with the Giants, and he's had success there at the Giants. He was also in Buffalo as a defensive coordinator and then was there as the interim head coach. And there are a lot of good things, said about Perry. And obviously we've had a lot of contact with different people throughout the league trying to find names and that different people think. And Perry's been on most of their lists. We're excited. We're looking forward to interviewing him. Mike Mularkey obviously was also the head coach at Buffalo. And then is the offensive coordinator now in Atlanta. And we've heard a lot of good things about him. And he's with Perry being a defensive guy, Mark's an offensive guy. But, we've heard a lot of good things about him, but until we talk to him, we don't know exactly where they are. And then, obviously, Eric here, we're looking forward to talking to Eric.
John, would you wait until the Super Bowl if there was somebody you were interested in on any of those staffs?
Yeah. If we thought that the guy that we wanted is on one of those staffs, we'll have to wait. So, fortunately, with the rules, with Mularkey, because they have a bye, that our window to talk to him is this Friday. And so there's no question if Mark's a guy that we're really interested in and go through that process, that's the only time, if it's the guy that we wanted, we would have to wait.
He's
been on a list. You know, we're still looking at a bunch of different people on that list. We had a long list, and there's been a lot of people on there, and Ron was definitely on that. And so we're still massaging the, going from the big list to the short list. But these are the teams that the people that we've been able to contact and be able to talk to.
Is this the first time that you've been up there since your retirement?
Yeah. I know. It was the last time. Last time I was crying. This time I'm smiling. Yeah.
You've done a lot of public speaking in the 12 years.
I have. I haven't done a whole lot. It's not something that I really, you know, done a lot, but I've done quite a bit of it. So I've done a little bit of it. So that experience has helped me.
Motivational.
Yeah. Yeah. You know, and the thing is, and I, you know, the speaking that I like to do, and obviously you when you go give speeches, you're trying to combine my football experience to whatever business they are in, but what's exciting about me is I get to talk about what I love and how we're going to get it going on the get football going here with the Broncos, and so that's why it's a lot easier for me to talk about.
John, when you casually watch the Broncos, how many players on this team do you think could play on your championship?
Casually watch them?
As
Tebow? I'm joking. He'd had my spot. I'm going to tell you this, you know, just naming off the top of my head, you know, Champ Bailey could have played on our team. I can tell you that. You know, you got, but then again, when I look at those teams, especially the last team I played on, that was as solid as a football team that you could have. I mean, I go through offensively. We had big time veterans in the offensive line. We had Rod Smith, Eddie McCaffrey, we had Sharp, you had Terrell Davis behind me. We had Howard Griffiths at fullback. So when you look at us offensively on those teams, I mean, we're about as solid as you could be, not only talent-wise, but experience-wise. And I think that that's what we'd like to work to. You look at the defensive side of the ball, and, you know, they you know, stop people, and we tried to keep them off the field. But, I mean, that is a great comparison and a great goal for us is to get back to those teams. It's great for me to have played on a championship team because then you know what it takes and you know how good – because I know how good those teams were and what it takes to get to that level, and we're not there. It's hard to say who would have been on that team, but, you know, Champ Bailey is definitely one of them.
A couple more for John. John, you mentioned some of your former teammates from those championship teams. And several of those guys are still around town in some form or capacity. Would you like to get them back involved to help reconnect this team?
Well, it depends on the capacity. And obviously, there's a lot of guys that have been great for this organization. And I think, again, we'd have to go back and sit down and look at the whole organization as a whole. But I think that's as important is to get the guys that the alumni of the Denver Broncos, the guys that have been here, to make sure that they stay involved and feel like they're involved. And Mr. Bowen has done that, done a great job with that, with the alumni weekends over the last 20 years and keeping them involved. But I think the more that we can get them involved and show the guys that come in here and get them around and teach the guys that are here how you know, important it is to this organization and to see what it's all about and the type of guys that we've had in this organization.
John, you're up there now and you have a huge title, a nice suit, and a big crowd.
It matched. My wife dressed me.
Well, you think way back and all those conversations you have with your dad, do you think he'd ever envision you in this particular kind of position?
You know, when we finally came to agreement, I mean, that's really kind of the first guy that I thought of. And I know that he's up there, you know, looking down with bright eyes and a big smile on his face. And, you know, if there was one guy that I wish could still be around and be part of this, would be him. He'd be my first hire, let's put it that way. I have thought about that. And he was such a great influence on me. And it's funny, you know, to be able, you know, I think the last time I was probably in this room is I sat in the draft meetings probably in 2001. And sad, I got to the last month of his life, I got to spend every day with him and got to see what he saw in different football players and really got a feel of how good he was at what he did. And that's, finding talent. And so I really wish that he could be here, but obviously he can't. But he's a guy that I know is up there smiling.